The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
This is the Jackie Jones Challenge. Now here's your host, Jackie Jones.
Hi, it's Jackie Jones with the Jackie Jones Challenge. Thanks for tuning in today for my wonderful guest, Margot Berman. She is a powerhouse of creative energy. I met her at the Publicity Summit, and she really made an impression on me because she's just a light bulb, just a spark of fun and energy. Margot, thanks for joining me today. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Hi, Jackie. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, Margot is the street smart advertiser, so she's going to talk about the battle of the buzz. When I met her, everything she gave me was branded to represent her. She gave me a little sticky pad, and I have it on my desk now, so every time I see it, I think of her. She had postcards. She had little ones and big ones and a book and just, you know, all the little doohickey thingy-me-bobs that make you remember a person when they're gone. So talk about that, Margot. You know, what is the buzz, and why do people need to have it?
Well, the whole thing is being memorable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so we have so much going on. We get 10,000 messages a day. That's what the average, they think, now is. And mm-hmm. if you say, well, that's not possible, oh, yeah, it's possible. Think about the eyeglasses that you wear or the shoes or the bag or your shirt or whatever it is you're wearing or carrying, your briefcase. Each one of those has an icon, and that icon is a message. So with all of that creative clutter, anything you can develop that'll make you stand out from the crowd will help your message be sticky. And that's the main purpose of anything that you develop, that it's sticky, that people can't forget it.
So is that where you get into the mental peanut butter?
Yeah, the mental peanut butter is both professional and personal use. So on a professional level, it's how to develop slogans that stick to the roof of your brain. I know. That's why the slogan, there are 16 different techniques that help an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, a mompreneur develop a message that will stick and be remembered. You know, if I say to you, good to the last, you're going to say the word drop.
Drop.
If I say just do, you're going to say it. Because it's up there. It's internally branded in your brain. It's like a little branding iron that they put up there. And even if you want to forget it, if I start singing the Meow Mix thing, meow, 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 you can't get that out of your head. And that kind of message is very retainable. So on your personal life, if you wanted to use mental peanut butter to achieve goals, like let's say you can't get focused, you know, you have a lot of distraction. So you might just say, my time. Every time you get distracted, say, my time. And maybe those two words could serve as your mantra to get you refocused, meaning this is my time to do something.
Wow.
Those little mantras can be anything. So you can create any couple of words. It doesn't matter what it is. It's that it's relevant to you and that it works to keep you focused on whatever you're trying to accomplish. Yeah,
so
they really, really work.
So is it? So there is no technique to it. It's basically finding out, just creating something and tuning that into something else. And
exactly. With the on the professional side, for a slogan that you're trying to use on a business level, there are 16 different techniques you could use. Like, for instance, before you dress, caress.
Ah.
So out of three words, one of them is the name of the product, and the other one rhymes with it.
Okay.
And the whole thing is only three words.
Wow.
So shout it out. It isn't a surprise that those are so sticky. Those are two out of the 16 techniques, and in fact, three, because one is combination. So right there, you already have an explanation of why something works. If you could put your name into something and then marry it to something that rhymes to, which is not easy to do, it's amazing. Or, for instance, like with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. They took the name, which is a problem, and instead of it being problematic, they said, okay, here's how we're going to solve this. And so the focus on that is the name. And then the promise, we promise that it's going to be wonderful.
Wow.
Now, on a personal note, if you're trying to, like, lose weight and you're having this problem every time you eat something, you're choosing the wrong food, then every time you sit down to eat, you could just say, right choice, right choice, right choice, every time you eat something. Now, you can't hire somebody to run around 24 hours a day wherever you are and remind you. But, see, the trick is you can't leave you.
Right.
You can't drop you off somewhere. You're wherever you are. You're there. So if you hang it up, that little mental sticky note in your brain, and tell yourself every single time, it reinforces whatever the behavior is that you're trying to change or begin or even, you know, instigate something or incorporate into your life. I mean, whatever it is you're trying to initiate, whatever it is, anything. It could be anything. But if you're reminding yourself all day long, then you serve as your own internal coach. And that's why that mental peanut butter really works.
Now, your book is Street Smart Advertising, How to Win the Battle of the Buzz. Is that information in your book, those 16 techniques?
Yes, the techniques are in there. It's in Chapter 5 on the writing page. It's, I think, pages 84 to 87. And when you look at techniques of writing, I guarantee if you read just Chapter 5, you'll write better, because there's all kinds of how to use language in a way that will make it relevant to the audience. There's all kinds of different writing techniques. Like when you say it keeps going and going and going, that technique is parallel construction. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. That's parallel construction. So there's those techniques or certain techniques that are used not just for slogans but also for writing that make your writing more sticky, easier to retain. And I'll notice when I read copy or hear commercials, I'll notice the techniques that they're using. I'll go, oh, that's why that really works. Okay, I get it. Well, you can't forget certain things and other things. You don't even know who said it or who the client was or what the product was for. Yeah, this whole thing about language is very, very important in how you choose your language and the way you coin your phrases. I mean, even on my website, spontaneous combustion. I mean, though that kind of language says, okay, this is somebody who's thinking creatively. Instead of my saying, oh, I'm a very creative thinker, that doesn't mean you're creative.
Right.
You see? So if you're, let's say you're trying to, let's say you're an editor and you help people write. If you say, I'm a good editor, that's not as interesting as if you wrote a long phrase and actually edited out the words you didn't need and showed that you were a great editor.
Now, things like words, products that are first to the market and they get stuck, like Scotch tape and Kleenex, things like that.
Yeah.
Do they fall under that same?
Well, that becomes, you know, the Xerox thing, let's go Xerox something, that becomes problematic because your trademark, meaning your name that you've trademarked, suddenly goes into public domain because you can't protect it because it becomes a verb. Now, how bad is that?
Wow.
You know, like Google. Google it became a verb. Google became a verb. Go Google it. I don't think they're complaining. I mean, yes, it's nice to think when you think tissue, you're supposed to think Kleenex and not another product or Xerox and not another copier. But the point is, you know, if you're that far in front of the mind, it's called, you know, front of mind recognition. If you're right there at the tip of the tongue, then it's not horrible. I mean, they can't protect it at that point. You know, there's nothing they can do to stop you from using it.
Now, related word association.
Yes, related word association is a very handy technique if you're trying to think anything up. So let's say you're having a party. So you're going to have a party, and you're trying to have this really cool party, and you make a list of everything that happens at a party, all the stuff that goes on at a party, the music, you make a list. And then if you had to come up with some kind of a theme for your party, it's entirely possible that one of the words or combination of words that you put together might spark an idea for the theme of the party. So this whole thing of making lists is very helpful because it does two things. One, okay, if I say to you we're going to have a baby shower, okay, and I say to you, right now, Jackie, I'm taking you to the baby store. What do they sell at a baby store? Just list everything you can think of at a baby store, like bottles and bibs. What else do they sell?
Right, and baby booties and clothes and Pampers and cribs and all that good stuff.
Okay, so what happened was, by my asking you to just make a list, you didn't evaluate, you didn't judge the list, you just went with the flow. What I did, even for 2 seconds, was shut off the left side of your brain, and you didn't even miss it, because the left side is your mom. You know, it's always saying what you shouldn't do. You know, it's the mom in your head. You know, oh, you're going to a party. Now you're excited. The right brain's all geared up, but the left brain says, okay, what do I bring? Who's coming? What should I wear? What time is it? That's the left side.
Okay.
When you do lists, that left side is not engaged because you're not asking it to evaluate the list. You're just listing. So what it does is free up the right side of your brain to make all kinds of connections that you might not have necessarily made if the left side were interrupting you. You see? So lists are very helpful. And so when I say related word association, it's that you're taking the words, the list of words, and they relate to something.
Okay.
So they relate to whatever the product or the whatever you're trying to accomplish, whatever it is, and you just make a list, and then you can apply it, like you could do rhyme, or you could do alliteration where the words sound the same, like happy holidays, White Winter Wonderland. So there are different techniques that could make it an interesting theme for your party.
Hmm. Okay. Well, tell me about the Scamper method.
Oh, Scamper, S-C-A-M-P-E-R. That little acronym is a handy way to help you come up with creative ideas. So when you look at S, S is the word for substitute. So you say, well, you know, okay. And then what does substitute have to do with anything? Well, that's how some of the most ingenious products became developed. They came forward because somebody actually substituted one thing for another. You go, I don't get it. Yes, you do. Let's look at sugar. Okay, so what happened with sugar? The next thing with sugar was it was substituted by what? Saccharin. Then it was substituted by what? Equal. Then it was substituted by NutraSweet. Then it's substituted now by what's the yellow stuff? Splenda. Okay, so that's one technique where if you're looking to solve a problem, the problem was sugar, people are diabetic or trying to lose weight or cut calories, they came up with a way to solve the problem. So Scamper, S is substitute, C is combine. So if you wanted to combine two techniques or two products, look at a car and a minivan, okay? The car was first a car, then they had the little delivery trucks, and people aren't going to ride a delivery truck. They had then a station wagon, but it wasn't big enough. So what they did was they combined a mini, like a little delivery truck and a car, and they have something bigger than a station wagon. They came up with a minivan. So they combined two things. Look at Puffs. They put aloe vera in it. Mm-hmm. So then they combined it to solve the problem. When you really have a cold, you know, no tissue is soft enough. Putting aloe vera in it changed it. So they combined the tissue and the aloe vera.
Wow.
So Scamper and A is to add something, so you can add something to it. And if you have a product and you wanted to add something to it, you could make it work a little bit better. Like when you add the fluid in your windshield wiper, you're adding something to the windshield wiper to make it, you have that little product that they put in to keep it smooth and everything. So so when you add something to the product, you're solving that problem.
Okay.
So it's S-C-A-M. M is modify. So if you need to change something, can you think of a product that got modified and it's like, okay, it went from a regular phone to the new iPhone? So they modified what already existed, or they took the MP3s, which already existed, and they made an iPod. It already existed, but they modified it.
Right.
P is put to other uses, so S-C-A-M-P. P is when you put something to another use. So when they came up with glue, what they really were looking to do was you take something and you want to use it in another way. So when you look at the sticky pads, that really was broken glue because glue is supposed to stick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came up with a product that didn't stick permanently, like you want something to adhere long term. This stuck temporarily. So they put it to another use. Instead of it being a like glue, it became a sticky note, and they created a new product.
Right.
And then E is to eliminate the actual donut. Dough nut had a nut in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't cook. It didn't cook because it always was a little like soggy spot in the middle. So the inventor of the donut ripped out the nut and had a hole in the middle. So they eliminated the nut. So that's the E. So it's S-C-A-M-P-E, and the last one is R, which is reverse. So if you take something and you reverse it or rearrange it, like, for instance, yes, we had supermarkets. But all of a sudden, someone came up with the idea with reversing or rearranging supermarkets, and they rearranged the product in the supermarket, and they put in dog food. And all of a sudden, you had pet stores because they rearranged what was inside the supermarket.
Right.
So instead of just having products for people and dogs, they just made it for pets, cats and dogs and birds. And so that's the Scamper principle. So if you just use any of those techniques, S-C-A-M-P-E-R, one of those might help spark a creative idea and help you think of another way to look at something. That's the Scamper principle.
Let's talk about the sticky ladder.
Oh, the sticky ladder. All right, so you're trying to solve a problem. All right, so you're trying to come up with some kind of solution, whether it's at work or at home or something's not working. So what you do is you take your sticky notes, you know, the Post-it notes, and get a whole package of those, a big package of those, and make sure they're not tiny, but they're like the 3-inch ones that are long enough to write something. And use dark ink or a marker so you can see when you put something up what you wrote. And you need a bigger pad because you're going to write down one idea per pad, per page, an idea to solve the problem. So you're going to just do random thinking. So let's say, give me a problem that you're trying to solve at work, anything that, or even at home, or something you're trying to figure out.
How to book more guests in less time. No.
Okay, good. That's a great one. How to book more guests in less time. All right, so you're going to take out your sticky pad, and on one each page you're going to write a solution to that. So one might be get an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Two might be have the other person follow up with you, like waiting till they're taking charge of coming back to you, so you're not
mm-hmm.
asking them four times.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who want to be on a program will come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a whole list of all the things you could do. Like you could, for instance, make the phone calls at a certain time of day
mm-hmm.
rather than throughout the day confusing you. You could send all the emails, like have a group email and not put the person's name in, but just send it out so you're sending one email to 20 people at one time. So there are things that you could have it on your, for instance, you could have a on your website. If you have a website, you could have suggestions. And for anyone who comes up with a great suggestion, you send them something. Meanwhile, they're coming up with guest ideas. You could have book a friend, where they would book a friend, and you'd have, like, maybe you'd have two guests on at the same time. Or, you know, suggest somebody. And you'd reward them for their suggestion, like a suggestion box, an online suggestion box. So you put all these ideas, each one on a sticky note. Then you hang up, it's called sticky ladder, because you hang them one on top of the other, like the sticky part goes to the bottom of the one before it. So it becomes like a long train, one on top of the other. But so you can read each one, and it becomes like all the way down the wall, as long as you need it. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
Okay. So then you step back, and as long as you're using dark enough markers so you can see from a little bit of a distance, you'll look at those and now pick out the top three solutions. So when you get your top three solutions, you take those and put them aside and put them one by one. One, two, three, next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at those three solutions and see if there's any way you can combine those three solutions
mm-hmm.
for one big idea. But what you've done the first time was you didn't evaluate or judge anything. You just shot out ideas. You're just brainstorming.
Right.
Then part two is where you put them all up, and then the left brain gets engaged, and you evaluate which ones you think are the most useful, which ones are the most doable, you know, which ones really you think are the strongest. Now the left brain is working. And then the third part is where you're doing left and right brain thinking, because you're combining those three that you worked on and see if there's a creative way that you can combine them into one strategic solution to get you started. So that's how the sticky ladder works.
Oh, lovely. So you can actually do that as an individual or as a group.
Yeah, however you want to do it. I mean, the point is if you're stuck with an idea or trying to come up with a solution, and oftentimes, you know, the hard thing is coming up with a new solution. Anybody can come up with one, but what if that one didn't work? Now you go back and get another one. This will help you come up with multiple ideas very quickly because you're not judging. That left side is not engaged.
So is this technique the same thing you would do to help people lose weight or reduce stress or have confidence?
Well,
you could.
For instance, let's say you're when you say have confidence, you're too quiet at a meeting or something, and you might make a list. You could do a sticky ladder list, and you know what are the kinds of things I need to do to speak up more. And then you might say I need a little mantra. That could be one on your list, and you might engage Mental Peanut Butter and say, you know what? If you say more, they pay more. You know, the people that talk the most at a meeting get more money. You know how that is. They're good presenters.
Yeah,
if you say more,
yeah.
they pay more. That might motivate you to speak up.
Wow, that's a good one.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
There's a million of them. Like this year for me, I have a lot of, I had a lot of papers because I'm working on my next book. So I had stuff everywhere. And finally I said, mess is stress.
Mm.
And every time I see stuff, I put it away because I'm motivated by mess is stress. Like, get rid of it, I'll feel better. And you really do feel better.
Mm.
So then you can use, you can sit down and use related word association. You could sit there and think about all the things, all the benefits you would get if you did speak up more. And write down all the benefits. You know, I would do this, I would get that, I get noticed, I get a raise, I get a promotion. And sometimes just writing it down and looking at what it is that you're losing by not speaking up,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that's enough to motivate you to take action.
Mm-hmm. So that would help them to get noticed?
Yeah, well, at least they're thinking about why they're not getting noticed or how they
yeah.
could get noticed or what they're losing by not speaking up.
Right.
Sometimes when there's a loss attached to something, you go, you know what, I'm really self-sabotaging. I'm not helping myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how come no one ever notices me? Have you said anything in a meeting? No. No, you know, you don't look at it that way. But then you go, well, that's why Nancy got promoted, or you know, Justin got promoted and I didn't get promoted.
Uh-huh.
Because they say something.
Right.
So anytime,
What happens between the time when you're a child and you're so creative and you become an adult? Where is the disconnect, or what occurs there?
I love
there?
That. I just love that question. You know, I go, where did we go?
Yeah.
You know, you give a kid a present, and he'll look at the toy for a while, but he'll play with the box for 2 days.
Yeah.
Because the box is more fun. Because the box could be anything. You could climb in a cave and explore. You could be a pirate in a ship. You could be exploring America. I mean, you could do anything with a box.
Mm-hmm,
but the toy is limiting. So I think a lot of what happens in our learning is that it's very linear. You know, there's a right answer in math. There's a right answer, and you didn't get the right answer. So then you start to shut down, well, I didn't get the right answer. You know, I think there's a lot of right answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we get caught up in the wanting to be perfect, you got to get a grade, all the stuff, everything that drives you to fit in really drives out your creativity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you could, you know, they always say the creative people are always people playing, they have a very playful attitude. You know, recapture childhood. That's the thing. If you could recapture that where you're at awe and things are fascinating. I mean, we get up and everything is like expected, but when you're a kid, everything is a surprise.
Exactly.
Like you look at a bug and you're like amazed. Look at all those legs. And, you know, we forget to look at stuff.
Mm-hmm,
and we get caught in this same way of looking at everything.
Right.
And shaking that up is really, really helpful. And any right brain exercise, even puzzles, anything you can do to shake up that right brain is really helpful because it wakes you up. Like, for instance, if you took a new way to work, it might take you 5 minutes longer, but the right brain is having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
If you go into a dressing room and you try on clothing you would never, ever buy, but just try it on, the right brain goes, wow. Look at you. You may never go out in that. You don't have to leave the dressing room. But seeing yourself differently shakes up the right brain. Get a red pillow. Red is the highest energy quotient. If you go to chapter 8, you'll see there's all about colors.
Yes, and I love that section in the book when you talked about different colors.
Yes.
But I love how you broke it down by different countries and
exactly.
how they view those colors. That was fantastic.
Well, the funeral, you know, if you go to Japan and you wear black, that's terribly disrespectful. In a funeral in Japan, you'd wear white.
Mm. Wow.
And in India, wedding dresses in India and China are red. Because red is good fortune, good luck, fertility, new beginnings. That's why the gifts from China, all the presents are wrapped in red. It's good wishes. So understanding culturally what things mean and what colors do, so that's why red is the highest energy quotient. It raises your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you hungry. It's the color of passion. So if you put a little red pillow somewhere where you're tired, like your office is bland, you don't have any, put a little shot of red somewhere, and red anything. It could be a chair, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. It'll help wake you up. If you're tired, wear something red.
Mm.
You'll feel completely different when you put on something red. I don't care how tired you are, you're going to be energized.
You're right. That is true.
And yellow, by the way, is the second most high energy color. Yellow also changes your heart rate and your pulse.
Mm.
And the interesting thing is it's also the happiest color. So when you look at red and yellow, what are the colors that they put in kids' rooms?
Mm-hmm.
The primary colors are red, yellow, and bright blue, reflex blue, and you wonder why the kid can't go to sleep. And I'm not even trying to be funny. You know, they don't think about it. These are the highest energy colors. The kid can't fall. He's bouncing off the wall.
Wow.
I know. I know. Colors are very, very powerful. In fact, in the prisons, they have a room that they use a specific color to quiet the violent prisoners. They walk them in the room and they leave them there for 15 minutes. It's safer for the guards and it's safer for the prisoner.
What color is that?
It's baby pink.
Really?
Baby pink. And it's a specific pink. It's not bright. It's a real soft baby pink. They put them in there and leave them there.
Hmm.
And they completely calm down.
Hmm.
After 15 minutes, they're just like, they don't know what they were upset about. They just leave them there until they're calmed down. They take them out. Take them, walk them back to the cell. Everybody's fine.
So what about blue? What does that do?
Well, blue, dark blue, for instance, the darker the blue, blue is a color of establishment and trust and you confidence. So when you think about Big Blue, when IBM was Big Blue, a lot of the banks use dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
Not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add white to most colors, it sweetens it. So when you add white to blue, it becomes a sweeter color. Look at baby blue.
Yeah.
Look at Equal. Look at Yoplait yogurt. It's sweet, and it's light blue. Yeah, so like red, you add a lot of white to it, it becomes pink, becomes very sweet, like Young Romance. So white has a tremendous effect as far as changing the dynamic of the color. It'll actually change the color. But it isn't a surprise that when you're trying to, invoke trust and confidence, that they always say like the navy blue suit for an interview, that's why.
Yeah.
That's
why. Okay.
Look at the color of a lot of the police and firemen at one point wore all blue.
Okay.
You know, that you
trust
them.
So what is, why is a fire truck red? Is there any reason behind it?
Well, think about how fast you need to move out of their way.
Okay.
It doesn't surprise me that the stop sign is red. The fire truck is red. It gets your attention.
Okay.
It wakes you up. It gets your heart rate going.
Okay.
You're
going to
pay attention. You can't fall asleep when that fire truck goes by.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to clear out of the way, and that's the highest energy quotient color. I don't think it's a surprise that they were red.
Wow.
I really think people did color study. You know, like UPS is brown, and it's for dependability. Brown is the color of dependability. It's also earth, and hearth and home. When you think about, they're saying, what could brown do for you? It's not a surprise that that was chosen to emphasize the color brown.
Well, I don't know how you give your brain a bubble bath. I think you did, but
well, that's what you do when you do new things. You know, you go outside and you look at a flower and really look at it like you never, ever saw that flower before. I mean, just look at it. Have you ever, noticed how amazing a cobweb is? Just watch a spider weave his web and go, wow. I mean, that's like he doesn't even know geometry, and it's geometric. I mean, it's remarkable how they were able to do that. Just looking at things that you've seen a million times, all of a sudden you go, wow. Gosh, I can't even believe that. I can't believe that little guy has to hang on the thread while he's making his house. How amazing is that?
That is, and you're amazing, and you're fantastic. And check out Margo's website at unblockit.com.
It's unlocktheblock.com.
Yeah, well, see, my brain was still in the bubble bath.
I scrambled you. unlocktheblock.com. That happens. It happens. And I have
unlocktheblock.com and pick up a copy of Street Smart Advertising, a great book. Just...
And by the way, I have a new phone number, which you're going to love, 1-888-488-BUZZ, 2899. How cool is that?
I'm like, who else but you?
I knew you'd love it. I said, I got to tell Jackie, 888-488-BUZZ. It's so cool.
You are so fun. Well, I'm so glad to have had you on. This was great.
We'll do it again.
Yes, we will do it again because, people really need to unlock the block. And just like you said, just go out and take a different look at things. And I do that all the time. I'll drive a different way. And living in Vegas, I spoke to someone yesterday, and we were saying, if you don't go somewhere in town for 2 weeks, when you go back, it's totally different because things are just moving that quickly here. So we get to unlock the block a lot.
You're lucky.
Here.
So you have a new vista all the time. That's
all
great.
The time. I go away on vacation, come back, and can't find my way home because they built something new there.
How amazing.
Starbucks or Walgreens or something.
So you get bubble bath all the time. Who could
all
believe you get bubble baths in the, out in the desert? That's so cool.
I know, in the desert. Yes, it is so cool. Margo, thanks so much for joining
me
today.
You're welcome, Jackie.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Jackie Jones Challenge. To find out how you can host your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.